Добър ден на всички, които се интересуват от този важен бранш на туризма, така наречения конгресен туризъм и Incentive Trips. И ние се опитваме от Софийското конгресно бюро да към нашите членове или всички, които се интересуват, да установяваме контакти, които да бъдат полезни. Разбира се, ви знаете, че от няколко години, откато започна изложението IMEX или IMEX в Франкфуртския панаир, България, чрез Държавната агенция за туризъм, но и в нея има един много успешен щанд, който всяка година се увеличава и последната година, тази текуща година, беше на много хубаво място и при много добри условия. Нашата надежда е, че до година отново ще бъдем, България ще присъства там. Но за да се развиват тия успешни връзки, знаете, че личните контакти имат много голямо значение и може би няма нужда за по-голямата част от вас да представям кой е човека до мене. Това е Пол Флакет. В поканата, която сме ви изпратили, вие сте прочели какво са тези, които не го познават отпреди това. Кой е той? Изпълнителният директор на IMEX, но между другото един основател е и на EIBTM. Освен това е председател на MPI, Meeting Professionals International, президент на фондацията SITE, Society of International Travel Executives и така нататък. И благодарение на връзките с него, които ние, пък и вие, развиваме, имаме излъз, бих казал, до големия бизнес, в който, за съжаление, нашата страна не участва с много голям дял, но въпреки това е в процес на развитие. Той е тук, разбира се, това е една традиционна среща, която уреждаме, но има няколко теми, които вие вече сте ги прочели в поканата ни и които повече или по-малко са свързани с това зловещо събитие, което сполетя нашата планета, така наречената икономическа криза. И за да скъсяваме нещата, аз бих се обърнал към него да започне с неговото изложение. Разбира се, след като то завърши, той ще бъде на наше разположение тук, да му зададем някакви вече интересуващи ни конкретно въпроси.
Correct.
Okay, Paul.
Thank you.
Go on then.
Hello. Is that okay? Yeah, that's good. Now can you hear me? Yeah. We've turned the lights down because the PowerPoint looks a little better without the lights. How many have heard me speak before? Yeah? Okay, good. What I've tried to do this year, I thought about when I was coming, I thought, right, let's try and freshen it up. Let's make it different. And the world did it for me. The difference in 12 months is amazing. And I think many of us have suffered. Many of us have wondered where we're going. When will the magic roundabout stop? And where will we be? So many changes. And that's what I'm hoping to talk about and how we're coming out of these problems. But first, can I just correct two things? Because it's I'm a past president of SITE. And I'm not the chairman of MPI, but I have been an MPI chancellor. So just in case there are any MPI members here and they're thinking, no, he's not the chairman, I'm a past chancellor. So, but I'm involved, and I'm involved with DMAI as well, which is the former Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus. So we'll talk about that later. What we want to talk about now is what's been happening. What's happening out there globally, regionally, nationally? How is it going to affect you? and how is it going to affect your company? And where will Bulgaria be as part of this big change? Incidentally, the picture shows exactly why I never go on roller coasters. The height scares me just looking at the picture. We've got this global crisis. It was coming for a while. No one acknowledged it. It was coming faster. No one realized it. And there was a kind of laid-back reaction at first of, oh, well, we've had this before. We'll have it again. And no one really realized just how serious it was this time and how quickly it overtook us. Really quickly. Budgets fell through the floor. Is there anyone in the room whose budgets have been increased this year? I ask this question at every seminar, and not one hand has gone up in the last 6 months. And I've just got these looks of amazement of people saying, is he kidding? Is he kidding? We're not going to get increased budgets. Your business that you're taking part in our sector, the meetings and incentive travel sector, a lot of global business is now regional business. In huge, domestically strong markets such as the USA and Germany, even the domestic business has fallen. And this is where we find ourselves. And people are having to sort of close in the walls and say, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to try and be all things to all men. We're going to do what we do best, and we're going to survive. Shorter time frames, everything is happening much more quickly now in terms of internal politics, internal functions, trying to do business with planners who don't have business in the short term, but association planners will always have business, especially in the long term. So this is what you've got to look at. Where is the business coming from? Who is actually out there providing business at the moment? I honestly believe I used this phrase last year, faster, cheaper, better. It's become even more emphasized now with the situation we're in. Faster. Clients want things to happen faster. Planners want things to happen faster. Only because the lead times are so short. They're coming to you, to destinations, and saying, I want a conference in 4 weeks' time, in 6 weeks' time. It's crazy. Before a lot of these events, it will be in 12 months' time. But now, reactions to situations are becoming so quick. So suddenly, you as a destination are faced with the challenge of, can we turn this around? Can we do it? Are we prepared? Do we have the facilities? Cheaper. It's not a word I like, but let me just say this. There is the way out of this situation that we're in is not about cutting prices by 20 and 30 and 40% or even half price. That's not the way out of it. Because when we do climb back, and we will, and I'll explain why later, as we come back out of it, it's going to become very, very difficult to achieve your previous pricing levels. Because people said, well, wait a minute, you did this for 50% 2-3 months ago. I want the same prices now. Better. Can you deliver faster, cheaper, and better? Can you make it a better program? Can you deliver extra quality? Well, let me tell you. There are three requests, faster, cheaper, better. You can only give them 2 out of 3. You can give them it faster, you can give them it cheaper, but it won't be better. You can give it cheaper, you can give it better, but it won't be faster. Are you understanding this? This is something that cannot be done, not with any level of quality. And this is what we're all having to realize even more now. When I used that phrase last year, it was an MPI expression that had came out. Now, it's become much more sharply focused, and people are saying, what are we going to do? We want the business, but we can't really. We can offer maybe some add-ons, but we can't reduce the price so much because it'll send us even more to the wall. Everyone needs to make some sort of level of profit to survive. In normal times, in bad times, it's just adjusting the figures. And transparency, more than ever now, from governments down to destinations, down to companies within the industry, you have to have transparency. Everyone has to be aware of what you're doing. Everyone has to see it clearly, what is going on. This all started off with the Enron crisis in the USA. We've had all the AIG problems. Everyone wants to see the figures. Now, unfortunately, this has led to some very crazy situations. Did you hear about the problems in England with our members of parliament? Yeah? No? I'll tell you what happened. Our members of parliament claim expenses, right? They claim expenses on top of their salaries. Someone leaked details of these expenses. And one of the top English newspapers, instead of publishing it as a whole story, broke it up into little segments and every day told you which members of parliament were claiming over-the-top expenses. For example, there was one guy, he's a member of parliament, he lives in a castle. Not a house, not an apartment, a castle. And around the castle, it has a moat. You know, the water-filled moat. He was claiming parliamentary expenses for cleaning his moat, for taking in a contractor to clean his moat. And so it goes on. And they were taking on sons and daughters as members of staff and paying them fortunes. They were claiming for second houses that they didn't live in. And it was a big scandal, huge scandal. And now it's payback time. And there's a guy, there's a member of parliament, a lord, who's been given the job of saying, this is what should happen. And all these members of parliament have to pay back these over-the-top expenses. And we're in a very interesting situation in the last few days where the members of parliament are coming back and saying, we're not going to pay. We're not going to pay it back because you can't be retrospective. You can only be progressive. So we'll see. But if you can see any international news, just keep an eye on what's happening, because this is what's needed more than ever is transparency. And you've got it in the USA, the top market in our sector. You've got it all across Europe, even down in Asia Pacific. I was in Asia for 3 weeks, just got back 10 days ago. And transparency is the big thing there. They want to know exactly what's going on. They want to see it. It wants to be clear. We're a very durable sector. All the crises that we face or have faced, our industry has bounced back. We always come back because of our professionalism. It doesn't mean that we don't lose some companies, some destinations, because they're built on sand. And so they go, they collapse. But all these things have happened, and still the business is going forward. Still we're having meetings about how to come out of the recession, how we'll go forward. When I was in Kuala Lumpur 10 days ago and came out of the shower, the earthquake had hit in Padang, and the whole room was like this. You know, this is what's happening. This is what's happening across that region at the moment. Terrible things going on, natural disasters. And they're already talking about how they'll come back in that part of the world and how they'll come back to their business, which is the incentive travel sector. They're already talking about rebounding. So that's how durable we are. Incidentally, just as an aside, the lady who put this presentation together for me, that was the first time I'd ever seen that picture of the tsunami. And imagine if you're on the top floor of one of those high-rise buildings and you look out the window and that's coming towards you. Sorry? Yeah. Just unbelievable. So all these things happen. When we launched IMEX in 2003, the first show, we were right in the middle of SARS. Right in the middle. And even now, with the swine flu, destinations look to what they call the Singapore plan. And Singapore came up with probably the best plan for coping with SARS. They got everyone together, from the health authorities to the government, to the DMCs, to the hotels, to the airlines. Everyone came together and came up with a strategic plan for dealing with SARS. And now many of the destinations in Asia are taking that plan as a blueprint for dealing with swine flu. And they're already predicting the second level of swine flu. It's going to come back this winter with a vengeance. So we will survive. You've got to be professional. People are already preparing recovery strategies. How are we going to do this? What an interesting idea that someone... I was at the DMAI forum in Glasgow last week, and someone said they no longer budget 12-month budgets. They work on quarterly budgets, because that way they've got more instant control. Because they've recognized that the pace of change, especially over the last 12 to 14 months, is so fast, it makes it much easier for them to cope with quarterly budgets. That doesn't work for everyone. And those who are involved with global organizations, such as my good friends from Sheraton, this may not be so easy. But this is the way one particular person is coping that I spoke about yesterday. Industry knowledge. How do you get industry knowledge? How do you find out what's happening around the world? Well, my suggestion is, and it's worked for me for 20-odd years and more, is to be part of the industry associations, either CITE, MPI, ICA, DMAI, whichever kind of floats your boat, but whichever gives you industry knowledge. And don't be a checkbook member. Make sure you attend the regional events, at least, if not the global conferences of these associations. Get the knowledge. Because you have to understand what your competitors are doing. Who is your competition? We'll look at this in a little while, but who is your competition? You need to know where the industry is going. Is it going regionally because of the financial crisis, or because that's the fashion? What impact are low-cost carriers, air carriers, having? And there's a new trend as well, low-cost hotels. There was a survey done recently by Visa Card, and the great news is it was done this year, and the report came out in June, and the top headline was 75% of business travelers will continue to travel because face-to-face contact is key to them. The difference will be they will use low-cost carriers wherever, and certainly on a regional basis they'll use the new 2-3-star chain hotels, probably even an airport hotel. Fact of life, that's the way it is. That's the way the budgets dictate. Politicians. I bow to politicians in the front row. The great Obama. I was in Victoria, Canada last year for ICA when the USA election took place. And there was this huge uplift amongst 600 people that now we had a chance. That Mr. Bush, God bless him, was leaving, and we had this new guy who was promising so much. And everyone was very positive. About 2 months into his presidency, he made a statement to journalists along the lines of, we have to stop these parties and junkets going to places like Las Vegas, which horrified the US industry, domestic industry, because incentive programs, motivation programs, mean that people have worked extra hard, have donated more, have contributed more, and ultimately helped improve the economy. In other words, he had no total understanding of what the meetings and incentive travel industry was doing in America, and how much it was in America alone, let alone globally. And he had no idea. He hadn't been briefed. He came out with this statement. What happened? Chaos. Revolution. All the top industry associations in America came together within our sector, the meetings and incentive travel folks, and lobbied the White House, which took it by storm. They'd never had such lobbying before out of the blue. And they even finished up the leaders of the associations meeting in the White House and saying, this is a multi-million dollar industry and you're criticizing it. And Las Vegas wasn't too happy either to be regarded as a party place rather than somewhere that could deliver such a high quality product. So you have to be very aware, and we have to educate the politicians. And we have something called the Politicians Forum at IMEX. Mr. Dromef was there, correct? And what we do is we invite destinations to bring their politicians so they can understand the value of our sector. Here's the only problem. We can all sort of make educated guesses at what our industry globally brings in and contributes. But there are no actual statistics. SAIC can give you a rough idea of how the incentive travel side is going. ICA can give you a rough idea of the benefits to the meetings industry, but no one can stand up and say the meetings and incentive travel sector globally is worth X million dollars. There aren't those figures. And this is one of the problems faced. Because there aren't the figures, no one really understands it. The size of it and the impact. And I've got a very good friend who's doing a research project on the impact of this sector on local communities. And it's huge. It's huge. And politicians are just starting to realize this. We've had ministers of tourism come up from Australia to attend this function. We've got a lot of European people come and understand it. But globally, we're pushing and pushing and pushing to expand their expertise, because it's folks like you who suffer. Your companies, you know, unless there's a recognition from the very, very top, not only your destination, but globally, we're struggling. It's like fighting with one arm tied behind your back. So we have to get the knowledge to them. Timetables and awareness. This is a personal view now, very personal. I hate any politician who talks about this will be done by 2020 or 2025. And we'll increase education by 80% by 2025. The economy will have improved 17.67% by 2019. Who's counting? Who's going to remember in 2019 or 2020 to check the figures and say, oh, Tony Blair said, talking of idiots, Tony Blair said this will happen by whatever year. The pace of change is so much that these governments won't even be in power then. It'll be another party, it'll be somebody else. So these promises are so stupid, and they're put out there with, in my opinion, little respect for the people they're talking to. And that's why you folks in the industry have to have the awareness and know where you're going and know what your timetables are. Never, never talk about 2020 and whatever. It doesn't make sense. You can't guarantee it. Look at the pace of change over the last 12 months. It's blown all the predictions out of the water. The most hard-working bird in the industry, in the world, up until 12 months ago, was the crane. Every city you went to, the crane was there, working, building, building, building. Suddenly the cranes were stopped. What's the biggest slowdown? Which destination has had the biggest slowdown of all in the past 6 months, let alone the past 12 months? Any answers? Dubai. Dubai has actually been bailed out money-wise by its neighbor, Abu Dhabi. In Dubai, they're having something. In the 1 week alone, 300 cars were left at the airport as expats left their jobs, were fired, and went back home. The Atlantis Hotel was open with $25,000 worth of fireworks. And the gentleman from Sheraton will probably be able to tell me this. The cost per night was four figures in dollars, in pounds as well. Suddenly, the Sunday Times, within 3 weeks, they were offering pay for three nights, get a fourth night free, $900. Gone from four to three figures straight away. 3 weeks later, it had gone from $900 to $700 plus return flights from the Emirates, from the UK. This was in the London Times. Whew. Dubai. The big success story, the wonderful success story, gone. Based on property development. And yet, that's despite the vision of the Sheikh, the former ruler, who realized that the oil was going to run out at some time and they needed to build something else up. And he decided that by the time the oil ran out, Dubai would be the number one tourism sector destination in the world. And now it's floundering. And this is what's happened. So this is why you have to be careful about making these long-term judgments. Happily, in a lot of destinations, the cranes are coming back. I've just been in Singapore. And I tell you, Singapore will be huge. Macau rebuilt itself on Las Vegas. And if you go into Macau now, it looks like you're entering Las Vegas with the Venetian and the other hotels. If you go into Singapore, they've reclaimed the land. The guy who's involved in Las Vegas, Adelson, is opening up the Marina Bay Resort. Stupendous place. And convention facilities everywhere you look. And then Sentosa Island is building a huge sort of theme park with the Universal Studios and that sort of thing. And what they're after is a lot of Chinese business, because they're also including a lot of casinos. And the Chinese are avid gamblers. And this is going to be, you know, this will be 6-7 star quality, what they're putting together. And this is what they're going after. So yes, the cranes are still working, particularly in Asia. So, you've got low budgets. Your budgets have been cut. You don't have the wherewithal that you had 12 months ago, 6 months ago. How are you going to work as a company, as part of this industry? How are you going to have the impact? Well, you need creativity. You need people who can come up with new ideas that work on these budgets within your company. You need to have a lot of brainstorming sessions. And you need to include all your staff and let the junior staff come up with ideas. May not be so crazy. Maybe something that you can take and push through. At IMEX, we've got 34 people. And we have office meetings all the time. We even had a team building day 2 months ago where the whole office closed down and we sent them out. And instead of the 5 teams that we've got, we mixed them all up. So they worked with different members of other teams. So you need to get everyone's opinion. You need to be so creative and see where you're going. You need teamwork. You know, you've got the enemies within, as I call them, where you've got competition. And with great respect, probably the hotels are the biggest source of this. Of course there's competition. The face of Sophia has changed in the last few years since I've been coming regularly. Your hotel face has changed dramatically. The winners do not always take all. And what I'm trying to say here is, if you're not part of the team, but you're doing quite well individually, it's like baking a cake. You can keep going, but you'll just have a little cupcake. But if the team gets together and bakes together, then you'll have a big cake. And your slice of the cake will be twice as big as a cupcake. Does that make sense? Yeah? In other words, you've really got to get together here and promote as a team, as a destination. You've got to forget the politics. Politics at whatever level, at government level, at company level. I'm sorry. There's no room for them anymore. You can't afford to have them, especially in these times. And you've got to make the planners look good. The meeting planners, the incentive planners have come to you and say, I've got a possibility for a meeting, for a conference, for an incentive program. They have to report back to their clients. So you've got to make the planner look good with your ideas, with what you can offer them, with your prices, with your timings. You've got to make them look good with their clients. And here's the secret. Here's the secret advantage. You make the planners look good, they'll have other clients. And when they're looking for something for the other clients, they'll have you in their head because you've delivered to them and you've made them look good. Yeah? So work hard with the planners. It often bothers me when people who don't really understand what our industry is about start saying things like, yes, but, you know, we did more business at so-and-so. I mean, the number of times I've heard IMEX and EIBTM compared with World Travel Markets and ITB, I'd be a rich man if I had a pound for every time that happened. You're comparing apples with pears. Totally different operation. Totally different approach to a tourism, to our meetings and incentives. And if you don't understand the difference between those two, well, you need to rethink what you're doing. Your infrastructure, how does it work? Are you a dictatorship? Are you a democracy? Are you a team? Or are you driven by other factors? We all know that finance is the big driver at the moment. But what else is there in your infrastructure? Do you have a team set up that can actually take you forward? Because if you don't, you'll never get there. You'll be just, it's like a boat without any wind. You'll just be stranded, waiting for the wind to come, while all your competitors just switch on their engine and away they go. You're waiting with your sails and nothing's happening. Taxi drivers. The biggest barometer of any destination and how well they're doing with events are taxi drivers. When we launched EIBTM back in, the first show was 1988 in Geneva, and I used to play a game. I would get in the taxi at the airport to the hotel, and I'd say, is anything happening this week? No. No. Nothing. No. I knew we were bringing in God knows how many thousand people through the destinations, exhibitors, visitors, buyers. They didn't. As far as they were concerned, nothing was happening. Within 2 years, through the city of Geneva and through the Swiss Tourism Board and whatever, and through our own efforts, I could then get into a cab at Geneva Airport and say, is anything happening this week? Oh yeah, there's this show, EIBTM, and all these people are coming from around the world, and it's great for taxi drivers. They knew it. Think about it. Wherever you go, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get in a taxi. Just ask them, what's happening this week? What's going on? And they're the barometer of success or otherwise. The city of Hamburg has Taxi Drivers Day. And what they do, all the taxi drivers in the city have a list of hotels they can call into. They will get a briefing from the local tourist office, the local convention bureau, of all the events that are coming during the next 12 months, major events, and the dates. They'll get a little thing to stick on their dashboard with a pen and a pad, so they've got something to take notes with and addresses where they're picking up. And they're also entitled to a coffee, a croissant, you know, a snack meal sort of thing. So they're involved. They're made to feel part of the process. Their success, they're part of it. So think about that. You've got to share your secrets. It's no use. I've been here many times now, and I still don't know Sofia, and I still don't know Bulgaria properly. And that's really my fault in a way, because I never have the time. But when the planners come, make sure they have the time. Make sure you show them everything and what they can do. And all your secrets that you take for granted, make sure you share them with these people. Because that's what they're looking for from destinations. If they're looking at Sofia, Brussels, and Manchester as possible destinations, you can bet every penny in your pocket that Brussels and Manchester are opening up their secrets and saying, oh, by the way, this time of the year we can actually do this, we have a festival, we do that. They'll even create festivals, they'll even create things just to give the planners something to bite on, to feed on. Do you have world-class events here? Name me a world-class event in Bulgaria. Anybody? Come on, folks, you've got to be proud of something. I know you were bidding for the Winter Olympics, is that right? Mr. Dromev, you were bidding? He was going to captain the Bulgarian ski team. World-class events draw attention to destinations. There's a great fight between Sydney and Melbourne as to which is the capital of sport in Australia. They've just had the world-class rowing events, world championships of rowing, held in Poznan in Poland on Lake Malta. And for 10 days in the sports pages, there was Poznan. It's what I call almost a third-level destination within Poland. You've got Warsaw, you've got Krakow, and then you've got the Poznans, Wrocław, and all the others. But they've got a world-class event. Why do you think people bid so much for the Olympics, winter and summer? South Africa get the World Cup. I have to tell you, next year, they're sort of reeling from the impact and realizing what they've got to do and how much they've got to prepare for next year. Whether you like soccer or not, it's a very interesting exercise in how a destination comes together with all the problems of crime associated with South Africa. That's almost not the problem. The problem is, do they have enough hotel rooms? And how are the people going to get around from city to city for the football matches? So you need some world-class events. You need to bring something. You need to drag attention to you. You need to have people saying, wow. Because the people who come for Olympic Games, European Games, whatever, G20, things like that, will leave an impression. And particularly the sporting events will all have sponsors, commercial sponsors. And the sponsors will look and they will say, hey, this is a good destination. Maybe we could come back here for a company meeting. Barcelona had one of the most successful Olympic Games ever back in the 90s. Barcelona has never been out of the top five European meetings and incentive travel destination lists since. They took total advantage of those games and built up a product that is phenomenal. And there's a lady called Eri Gorogotha, who's head of the Convention Bureau. And if you ever get the chance to sit and talk with her, do so. She's very open. She's very honest. She'll tell you how they work at promoting themselves. Listen to these people. These are the experts. These are the people who've kept themselves at the top. So who is your competition? Who's winning? The plane is Richard Branson's creation. This is with what he hopes to take people around the world. They won't actually go into space, but they get to the edge of space and they can do a global trip. And that's a hell of an incentive prize. So instead of taking your incentive winners to Monte Carlo for 5 days, you may well give them a flight around the world in 24 hours or whatever, however long it takes. That's competition. That's competition. A friend of mine, Jim Lawster, who used to be the head of the Las Vegas Convention Bureau, said that his main competition was a TV set. Okay? And I looked at him, I thought he was crazy. I thought he drank too many margaritas. And he explained it to me. Every weekend, the American newspapers come through the door. They're about that thick with all the supplements. And you go to the travel section, and you used to get $220 weekend in Las Vegas, including flight, 3-star hotel, and breakfast. Yeah? Sounds good. Everyone was saving up their dollars for gambling, and off they were going. Then people got a little tired and said, I can buy a new TV for that almost. I can buy a new DVD player. My wife wants a new blender in the kitchen. So that was becoming his competition. Not other destinations. It was what people could do with the same money as these special offers. And that's the way you have to think. Who is my competition? Why are they winning? Why are they always there? Why is Barcelona always top? Why is the Vienna Convention Bureau with 9 members of staff only, and remember, we have 34 to run a trade show, why is the Vienna Convention Bureau always in the top 5 every year when you look at the ICA stats? Because they're totally professional. They have complete flexibility within the bureau, from Christian Munschlechner, who was the president of ICA for 4 years, and he's now immediate past president. He will happily pick up the phone and do even the basic work. In other words, he can do the work of number 9 in the organization, and number 9 can do his work as number 1. That's totally flexible, totally interchangeable. They're all grounded, they're all schooled in the same way. They all know what the goals are. They know where they're going. That's why they're winning. So how can you win? You have to adopt some of these principles. You have to be much more open to ideas. I know it's tough. I know it goes probably against things that you've been practicing, organizational tiers, and this is the way it's always been, so why change it now? You're going to have to change it now, because the world is changing. If you don't change with it, you'll be left behind. So why do you want to win? Well, this business is very good. And we come back to the apples and pears of tourism and this meetings industry. The delegates who come into Bulgaria, into Sofia, for meetings and incentive programs are spending at least 5 to 6 times a day more than tourists. Yeah? Much more. And it's a much bigger impact on the local economies. So that's why you want to win it. That's the first basic reason. Second reason is good results, good delivery, good product means that you'll get word of mouth. Means that you'll be recognized within the industry. Everyone has their favorite destinations. You want to be on that list of favorite destinations. You want people talking about Sofia. You want meeting planners. Meeting planners, it's like doctors. Doctors do not join medical associations to meet patients. They join medical associations to meet other doctors, to share opinions, share knowledge. And it's just the same with the delegates who come on these meeting and incentive programs. They'll share the information. Oh, I was in Sofia last week. It was fantastic. I never knew they had so much, and they did this and they did that. And the people were so friendly. Even the taxi drivers knew we were coming. You know? Do you have the capability? Be honest. It's no use you saying you're going to compete with Monte Carlo or New York or Paris or Rome. You don't need to compete with them. There's a very good level of business at second and third tier levels. That's what you want to be. You want to be the perpetual hidden gem that everyone talks about. And just like Barcelona, let them keep talking for 20 odd years or more. You know, it's hard work, but you can do this. Buyers should become your new best friends. You should encourage them. You should treat them like you grow flowers in a bowl in the house, and water them and feed them and keep them coming and nurture them. You need to look at your relevant markets. Who's going to be coming here? Well, the first question you should ask yourself is, how are they coming here? I flew in with British Airways. You've got a national airline. Lufthansa flies in here. You need to look at the airlines coming in and say, right, we'll target the destination markets where they're coming from. We'll work on those first. It's no use trying to get the Japanese market here. One, it's too far, and B, it's going to be very difficult to get them here. But what you should do is target the German, the Scandinavian markets, maybe a little further afield, certainly the US, because they can fly into Frankfurt and on. But that's what you've got to look at. Relevant markets and new markets. You've got to create word of mouth. I don't care if suddenly in your company your new prime minister comes along and says, here are 27 million labour for your company to improve it. It doesn't matter. Unless you've got word of mouth, unless you've got people talking about you, the biggest budgets in the world are not necessarily going to work. Look at Dubai. You know, you can throw all this money at projects, and if it doesn't work, you've missed out on word of mouth. That's what you need. You want people talking about you. You've got to create this interest. Maybe some very clever marketing. Convention centres. Convention centres are destination flagships. Probably the best example I can give is Cape Town. Reykjavik is an interesting story. They were building a new convention centre, and they were the first to really crumble in the financial crisis. The banks went just like that in the course of a day. So the cranes stopped flying, the cranes stopped working, and the convention centre was put on ice. And the hotel chain that was going to buy, that's going to take a hotel on the venue, which is right in the harbour, they pulled out of the deal. Nothing was happening. Now, as you'd expect, it's a nation of 311,000 people. They're coming round. Work has started again on the convention centre. What's their biggest problem? It's now called the Convention Centre and Symphony Hall. Which is going to be, they're still a little unsure as to whether it'll be the convention business will be the main event, or the Symphony Hall will be the main event. Who's going to have the choice over dates and space? But that's a nice problem to have compared with 6-7 months ago when it wasn't going to exist. Melbourne has now two convention centres and claims that its new one is the most economical, green, environmentally friendly convention centre in the world. It even has grass on the roof to keep the heating in and whatever. Pittsburgh built a new convention centre, just had the G20 summit. It's a very interesting prospect. If you were the mayor of a city and suddenly the world leaders tell you we'd like to come and have our G20 summit in your city, you've got to weigh up. I mean, you don't have much choice when they tell you this, but what they've got to weigh up is, it's great, we're going to have global TV coverage, media coverage, so it's going to put us on the map. Then we're going to have the usual 5,000 rioters, the security, the flying in and the flying out of all these people, plus all the little politics between the G20 members. Who doesn't like who? Who doesn't want to sit next to who? Who doesn't want to be seen in the same room as who? So it's like a double-edged sword. In London, we had problems. We had rioters, protesters, huge police operation, cost a fortune. But you've got to look at convention centres as multi-purpose units. And you've got to get the local public involved. I think I told this story last year, but it's a good one. My home city where I was born is Birmingham. And when they launched a new convention centre, they had a soft opening. And they invited all the citizens in Birmingham over the age of, I think it was 50, to come and visit this new project, to understand what it was about. Gave them a tour. And then sat them down and gave them a nice afternoon meal. Nothing major, but a meal. My parents knew more about what was happening at the Birmingham International Convention Center than I did, and I was in the industry. They built up a civic pride, and everyone would walk past and say, "That's our International Convention Center." And we even had the G8 there with Bill Clinton walking into the bar next door to the convention center, sitting down, just pulling up a chair and sitting down like this and saying, "That fish and chips looks good. I'll have one of those." And talking with two, three complete strangers, citizens, who just happened to be in the pub having lunch. You know, that was the headlines. So you've got to think about all the benefits. You've got to have recognition. And if, you know, the planners are going to say to you, "Where will we hold the meeting? Where's it going to be?" Here we are, right, Christo? This is the place. He's a nice looking fellow, isn't he? Beauty is in the eye of the buyer, not the beholder. It's how they like you. It's how they look at you, how they feel about you. We've talked about involving the community. There's got to be a civic pride. You know, you've got to have... I always remember a hotel in Florida, in Orlando, when we had a site conference there. And they had the staff absolutely buzzing that this conference was there. And they all wore the little badges. Well, that's fine. A lot of people do that. But they recognize you as delegates. "Hi, how are you doing? Are you enjoying the conference? Do you like our hotel?" This was the porters carrying your bags up. This was the porters carrying your bags back at the end of the trip. As all the coaches left for the airport, whichever staff were available, hotel staff, they lined them up behind a huge banner as the coaches went out of the hotel and said, they all waved, come back, see you soon. Things were happening that, you know, no other destination had done before. And this is what you need to do. You've got to involve everyone. You've got to give them something new, something to be proud of. And you've got to create this within Sofia, within Bulgaria. So that people can say, "Wow, what a welcome. We were really looked after." None of this professional, "Yes, okay, is your room okay? Thank you very much for coming." It's going to be great. Glad you're here. I tell you who are good at this, the Irish. The Irish are great at this. They'll talk your ears off if you let them. Business takes time. I know I talked about the short lead times and even shorter lead times, but in terms of the buyer-seller relationships and meeting with planners, and remember that they're now under this need for transparency and openness, you really have to do work at what they want. And it's all about what do they want. It's not about what do you have and want to sell. It's about what they want. It's no use saying to a planner, "Oh, we have lovely pears and we have lovely lovely bananas." And the planner's saying, "Well, actually, I wanted apples and grapes. Do you have those?" "Oh, no, but the pears and the bananas are fantastic." "You know, don't want those. That's not what I want. That's not what I want to pay for." So you have to work really hard at this. You have to work really hard. I mean, we get hosted buyers. We're the culprits. We invented hosted buyers back at the EIBTM in Geneva. Now every trade show in the world has to have a hosted buyer program. And the bad news is, for the exhibition organizer, it's expensive. And the worst news is, once you start a hosted buyer program, you can never take it away. You have to grow it. As the trade fair grows, so the hosted buyer program has to grow. So you have to work in relationships. You have to know these people. You have to know them well. And I've spoken to two or three of the top global buyers, and they say, "Don't put me on the hosted buyer program anymore. Give it to new buyers. I'll be there anyway, and I'll come under my own steam because it's worth it and it's a benefit for me. Because we've grown up with these people, and it's Christian name terms, and we know them, and we can recommend them to destinations who want conferences and they want some buyers there during the year. Trade shows are 365 days a year if you do it well, not just 3 days a year. But that's an aside, that's another seminar. But what I'm saying is, you have to have the relationships with these people. Be green. Be green. How many people here consider their company or their operation to be environmentally friendly? Come on, if you do, put your hands up. Be proud of it. Hey, we have one there. See? We have a lot of awards to encourage this. But it's not enough to say, oh yes, we're environmentally friendly. You have to put your money where your mouth is. And we underwent, through the Green Meetings Industry Council, audit. They actually came to our offices, observed our practices, and we had to change one or two things. But then they gave us the green certificate. So we operate on an environmentally friendly basis. We recycle 87% of the waste at IMEX. Of the other 13% goes to landfill sites which provide electricity for 3 villages just outside Frankfurt. So it's taken us 7 years to get there. 7 years to do that. It's a big operation. The good news is, if you do get involved in these practices, you'll actually save money in the long run. It'll be much more effective economically. It's just converting the mindset. And the colour of my hair gives it away. I'm of generations that kind of look at this all suspiciously, but it's the children who'll bring it through, and the next generations, because they're growing up being environmentally friendly, being environmentally aware. And they'll be doing things automatically. And as companies, as organisations, buyers will be asking you, what are your environmental practices? Buyers are now asking that when they're looking at choice of destinations for conferences and programs. This is one of their considerations. Now, in the current crisis, it's not their number 2 or number 3 consideration, but it's certainly in the top 10. So this is what you have to have some concern for. How environmentally friendly are we? The world has changed. The old typewriters, now to computers. Last week in Glasgow at this seminar, a guy came who was a sponsor, and because we had a speaker who was taken ill, he came in and gave a 15, 20-minute presentation. What is going to be the key marketing tool in the next 5 years? It's not about email blasts, websites or whatever. It's your mobile phone. There'll be so many marketing activities and mobile phone networks. And I'm the converted. I'm just repeating what he said last week, what Michael Priam talked about. There'll be so much activity on your phone, so many different uses, you'll almost forget to make phone calls. Yeah? I mean, when I bought this, I had 2 considerations. I want to be able to make phone calls, and I want to be able to store names and numbers. Oh, and I also wanted a flip top, because I'm the sort that forgets to lock it when it's in my pocket, and I'm making phone calls to people just by, you know, the button being pressed, automatic dial numbers being pressed. This is where it is. And if you want, I haven't got it with me, I can get you Michael's contact details and he'll happily share this knowledge with you. But this is what's happening. And after that, it'll be something else. 5 to 10 years, who knows? But we don't talk 2020, do we? We know that. So just be aware of what's happening now. It's how we respond. It's how we respond to change. You can't get left behind. Because for every new idea that comes in, the planners will be onto it straight away. And they'll be asking you, can you help us with this? Is your website interactive? Can we do this? Can we do that? We now have our system at IMEX developed to such a stage that we check, we go online, and we can check which destinations have not done their pre-show marketing. which destinations have not set up appointments, either individual or group appointments, 2-3 months out. And we then call these people and say, you do realize you're missing out on a key marketing opportunity. You haven't made any appointments yet. You haven't done this. You haven't done that. Your web slot, your web page on our site as an exhibitor has not been filled in. No one's going to know about you at the show. Everyone gets busy. This is Christo getting to the top of Mount Vitosha. You do this every week, don't you? Yeah? Getting to the top is easier than staying there. This is the key thing. You can progress and progress and progress, and you're getting, you know, really near the top in your business. How do you stay there? How do you survive there? You need to talk to, as I say, Eric Garagotha, Christian Muschleschner, John Hutchison, all these sort of people. And they're great people in the industry, and they'll happily spend some time with you, even if it's just exchanging emails. Tell me your secrets, because they want to see the industry grow. Their goal has always been to see our industry grow and get the recognition it deserves for the product it is and the professionalism it has. Thank you for Dimitar Berbatov. I follow Manchester United. Any questions? That's it. You can ask questions.
Добре ни се представи нашия гост, обаче аз искам да ви уведомя за нещо много важно. Цялата тази беседа или лекция, не знам как да я нарека, ще бъде качена на уебсайта на София Convention Bureau, на Софийското конгресно бюро, и вие може оттам да си я получите, но тя ще бъде на английски език. Мисля, че това няма да ви затрудни и че може след това да си я преведете. Ние наистина ще се погрижим за това нещо, защото има много неща, които дори да ги знаеме, ги бяхме позабравили, а в момента ни подсетиха как да бъдем малко по-успешни в нашия занаят. Сега, ако имате някакви въпроси, да експлоатираме неговото присъствие тук още няколко минутки. Ние, разбира се, може и да го разпечатаме това, което чухме, и да си го имаме на масата в бюрото, но пак повтарям се на английски. Заповядай, хубава.
Лиана Панделиева, монитор. След края на икономическата криза, доколко важно за този вид пътувания, инсентив, конгресните събития ще бъде зеления бизнес? Тоест, конкретно стана дума за това, и тъй като аз видях, да речем, в Южна Африка, където предстои да се проведе световното, една цялостна политика въвеждането на зелената индустрия и в хотелиерството, по какъв начин това ще се отрази на България и ще пострадаме ли от твърде малкото наличие на зелен бизнес в областта на туризма?
First of all, it will definitely come back big time. You have to face it, you have to accept it, that the green effect, the environmental impact, is there. At the moment, it's getting a little lower because of economic impacts and the situation we're in. But we already know that we bounce back from these situations. So then again, the impact of environmental programs will be key, and planners will continue to look for this. And you have to accept it. It's a fact that when they come to place business, they'll be asking for your green credentials. And if you don't practice green, I hate to do a Tony Blair, but within 5 years, I think we'll have rebounded, we'll be strong again. It may be 3 years, but that's when it's going to hit you. And that's when you might as well start working on it now. And there are lots of organizations out there who can help you. And it's practical stuff. It's not walking around in handmade t-shirts and smelling flowers. It's practical, serious business. You might be able to correct me on this, but I understand that Scandic Hotels claim to have designed hotel rooms that were 97% recyclable. This was their claim. Can anyone guess what the odd percent non-recyclable were? Anybody? It was the mirrors. They couldn't recycle the mirrors. Now, I'm not sure about that, but what I'm saying is there is the impact of a global hotel, of a major hotel chain, already looking at environmental impacts. You know, the next eco conference is in Florence in about 2 weeks' time, and they've deliberately chosen not to have coaches running around with the delegates. One, because it's not so practical in Florence anyway, but two, they're going to make it a walking conference. So all the little hotels in Florence are involved, and the delegates will be walking. You know, no environmental impact. In Frankfurt, we cannot let our coaches stand with the motors running, with the engines running, while they're waiting for delegates. They have to wait till the coach is full, then start the coach. So no emissions. These are all the sort of impacts you've got to think on. Yeah, you know, we know all about the engine types and the new, they're all looking at electric type vehicles and whatever. That's not going to work for our industry for moving large numbers for a while. They tell me that in Venice, they're looking at how they can use water transport much more for events. They already do, they already have to, but they're looking to increase that usage. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And you cannot avoid it. The planners will be there, they'll be asking. So you have to decide pretty much now, are you going to be in the leading group or are you going to be in the follow-up group? And the leading group will be getting the business. Is that doom and gloom for you all? Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be. I remember going to visit relatives in Australia 7 or 8 years ago, and the two children were already recycling everything.
So, Paul, I'd like to ask you something. We appreciate very much the three magic words, faster, cheaper, better. But how will react the IMAX organization with these three words? Shall we pay less? Shall we have better offer?
See, I knew which word was favorite with you, cheaper.
Yes, cheaper and better. Yeah.
Well,
can you tell us something, what we can expect next year in Frankfurt?
It's always been our goal when we were EIBTM and now with IMEX that you never stand still. You have to improve all the time. You have to. You have to make things better. You have to make it. Our role as organizer is to take you, the exhibitors, and the buyers and create a meeting place, create a face-to-face place where people can do business. The very organics, the very mechanism of exhibitions means that it's not enough to go 1 year, miss the next year, come back. It's a continual face-to-face process of building up business. We try and improve it for you by making the mechanics for meeting people that you want to meet, do business with, much, much easier every year. That's why we've already, I was quite happy to hear this yesterday, we've already got programs for your mobile where you can actually get the floor plan, see where you're going, you can have reminders of your appointments, and you can have, timings, reminders of when you're seeing someone. We always encourage our exhibitors to have contact with the buyers in advance. So they say, we have an appointment with you on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. What are you specifically interested in? What are the details that you want to know? And we'll be prepared for your visit on our stand. So we're improving all the time. There's a lot more. We're improving on transportation, hotels. Hotels are very key to us. We work very closely with the hotels. So the answer really is, it will be better. It will be as fast as the industry allows us, and it will be as cheap as Bulgarians can negotiate. Okay?
Ms. Klushko.
Господин Факет, благодаря ви, че днес сте тук. Във вашето изказване вие споменахте една цифра от 75% на заетост на вашият пазар, специално в областта на конгресния туризъм тази година. Ако вярно съм разбрала, аз наистина ви поздравявам за това, защото вие ще се окажете най-печелившата част от туристическата индустрия. Любопитно ми е обаче да споделите с нас как виждате при евентуално излизане от кризата следващата година позицията на конгресния туризъм, сравнена с всички останали видове туризъм. Разсъжденията са ми в посока, ако вие имате тази година 75%, тогава би следвало следващата година да захапете още по-голяма част от туристическата индустрия, в световен мащаб говоря. И това би могло наистина да бъде абсолютна реалност, видно от резултата. Смятате ли, че това ще се случи? И ако да, от кои други видове туризъм бихте могли наистина да вземете? Втората ми... По-скоро е разсъждение, това даже не е въпрос, а е така. Искам да оповестя едно нещо, което не разбрах съвсем наскоро и което подхожда на днешният разговор за рециклиране на всички отпадъци, които и всички видове услуги, които се предлагат в хотелиерския бизнес и възможността наистина това да бъде наша задача. Съвсем наскоро разбрах, че в световен мащаб се поема кампания, в която остатъците от сапуни в хотелите, знаете, че обикновено ние се измиваме с тях един или два пъти, ще бъдат преработвани и ще бъдат изпращани в такива страни, в които епидемиите властват наистина с много голяма сила. Те всъщност се раздават на децата безплатно, във вид на шоу, с идеята те да се научат да се къпят, да имат възможността наистина да употребяват такъв тип хигиенни продукти, които видимо за тях няма вариант, в който те да ги получат, ако те не са дарение. Това силно ме впечатли и така аз истински се зарадвах, защото винаги се задавам въпроса какво се случва с всичко това, което всъщност ние оставяме в хотелите и което продължава по някакъв начин да представлява проблем от гледна точка на рециклиране. Тъй като вие засегнахте тази тема за зеленият ни свят, зеленащата окружаваща среда и всичко това, което трябва да пазим, дали според вас би могло да бъде интересно и друга част от вашия бизнес, тъй като знаем, че вие се докосвате до луксозната част на туристическата индустрия, да бъде въпрос на преработка и разбира се дарение за всички тези, които нямат възможност да се възползват от тези услуги и от тези условия. Благодаря.
Some good stuff there. Really good. First of all, your question about the economic impact of business tourism as opposed to general tourism. Tourism itself, general tourism, is one of the world's largest employers. Huge impact. It's growing, growing, growing. You look at the emergence of China, India. There are more millionaires, percentage-wise, than ever in India than in most countries. They just built the Hyderabad Convention Centre within 18 months from start to finish. I think the answer to your question is tourism is growing. Or you know, it's taking a bit of a hit at the moment because people are not travelling so much and they're not travelling so far. I think what we're seeing at the moment is rather than a global industry, we're seeing regional industries. I think that the business tourism sector will continue to grow and probably occupy a larger percentage of global tourism than it now, but it won't be much more because of the overall growth of tourism. I think the key point is the value of business tourism compared to the other components. Coming back to green, in the early days of EIBTM, I spent a lot of time in California working on developing their participation. And it was interesting. They provided me with an office inside a local destination management company, and they were forever frustrated because they'd introduced a program where all their conventions and incentive travel operations, any food, soap, anything else that was left over, they were recycling to local homeless shelters. This was really good, and it was a great initiative until those three dreaded words got involved: health and safety. And these people who sit behind desks and invent laws and rules, and they were told they had to stop because health-wise it wasn't practical and it had contained dangers. But all it meant really was they just didn't have the technology to recycle properly. I think these are great initiatives. I think they'll happen. And the great news is that international hotel chains like Starwood, Hilton, Hyatt, wherever, all have very good conservation programs. They're leading from the front. There's no doubt about it. They're leading from the front. And in this way, I think the industry will drive itself on. There's no doubt about that. The industry will drive itself on. Just one point to come back, your very first comment. The survey I referred to was carried out by Visa Card, and it referred to how are you going to travel given the situation of the crisis. And 75% of corporate travellers said they would continue to travel for the face-to-face benefits. As I said, it's not so much good news for the five-star hotels, but they were going to downsize at the moment in terms of they'd be using three-star airport hotels, they'd be using low-cost carriers, but they would still be travelling. And that's the good news. They were not stopping travelling, they were still travelling. So that as we come back, I'm sure business will come back to normal. Yeah. Did I answer everything? Thank you.
Thank you. Ако нямате други въпроси, или заповядайте.
One question. My name is Diliana from Company for International Meetings, and we organize conferences, seminars, and other kinds of events in Bulgaria. Could you give us some ideas about contacting or meeting or creating any relationships with these international meeting planners that you were talking about?
Okay. Well, the easy answer is come to IBEX on the Bulgaria stand. Of course. Join MPI Europe. Right? Meeting Planners International have a marvelous European operation. There's a great chance to meet them. Attend any industry events. It can be any major trade show. I mean, I'm not going to say, look, go to EIBTM in Barcelona. I never criticised EIBTM. I spent 12 years of my life building it up before we sold it. What I'm saying is go to the major industry events and learn. That's where you'll meet the people. Do your homework. If you're coming to IMEX, for example, and you're on the Bulgarian stand, you will have lots of opportunities to access our database, and that way create appointments with them. Yeah, that's the way to do it. And don't be a checkbook member. Go to the MPI Europe conference. If you can really afford the budgets, go to the major conference. But there are events here in Europe that are happening for you to meet planners and buyers. And that's the way to do it. Be involved. Get out there.
Thank you. Аз бих ви помолил да му благодарим на господин Пол Флекет, но трябва да го отнема, защото долу има една среща, която не искам той да пропусне. Но разбира се, ние пак ще се видим с него, сигурно по същото време до година. Благодаря ви, че бяхте тук. До следващата ни среща. Беседата има файл.
to see you, folks. I better take this off for a second.